Welcome to What the Fantasy, episode 34. I am Brandon Hay, and you can find me on Twitter at HayV3.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Zada. You can find me at Twitter at ZCantsFF. Arguing with people about AJ Dillon. I'm about to delete my Twitter account. How is everybody doing?
Oh, don't delete it. Don't delete it. It's sometimes the arguing is fun.
It has been rough on there lately, man. It has been rough.
Oh yeah, it definitely has. I got in a little bit of a back and forth with someone that was telling me Joe Burrow was just as mobile as Justin Herbert.
I think Joe Burrow is a little bit more mobile than Justin Herbert.
You think?
I mean, I don't really identify any of those guys as mobile. I think Joe Burrow is a better guy in the pocket, but I don't really think those guys are mobile. I mean,
well, I think Herbert's had like 300 yards rushing at the quarterback position. Oh, which
I didn't know that. Yeah. I mean, I just see Joe Burrow as a mobile pocket navigator. Like, he's really good at like navigating a collapsing pocket.
I agree with that part. I just think Herbert's better at gaining yards past the line of scrimmage.
Man, I've never even thought of Herbert as like a rushing upside quarterback before.
Really? He's so athletic.
I think Trevor Lawrence is better than both of them at rushing.
It's possible.
I think so.
It's possible. So we already are going off the rails a little bit. Today, you know, we're not fully done with our drafts with Scott Fishbowl, but we're going to at least talk about our drafts. So let me put this on the screen. Scott Fishbowl, for anyone that doesn't know, it's a charity tournament. It's every year. You know, it's a big deal. Analysts and fans are in it. So there's this cool website that has like all these like analytical type things and everything. So I thought we could go through this really quick. Kind of interesting. It gives you, you know, when the latest QB1 was taken, latest running back one. I think that one is crazy. Round 17, first running back.
Yeah, I was looking at some of that earlier today. Running back was like taken really late. Yeah, I was just looking at that like 5 minutes ago.
Some of these are crazy. Like the latest running back, so I can't even imagine what their running back one is. But I'm guessing they went heavy wide receiver. I think it's interesting. The most drafted teams, New England is one of them. A little surprised by that.
Really? Maybe. I get that. Not early, but I get that. Like, Mac Jones was a famous, like, he was a popular QB2 because of his completion percentages. The Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris have been good buys. People have been really about, like, Jacoby Myers and Jacoby Myers, I get. But I think Jacoby Myers was, like, wide receiver 42 in average points per week in half-point PPR leagues last year. And people are really fired up on him, but he's just like a low floor guy. He averaged like 9.1 fantasy points last year per week. And Kendrick Bourne is nothing, and Jonnu Smith might be something. There's a lot of pieces on that team, but I don't really see anybody taking any of those players early.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking of the more high end. And then Carolina is one of the least drafted teams. I mean, you got to think with Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore. I would take Robbie Anderson. Gerald Everett, but I guess other than that, I guess some people would take Baker probably late.
Yeah, I mean you can't in the Scott Fishbowl. You're taking them. You're taking these guys. You're not going to leave them hanging out there to like. You're not going to leave them any QBs on the waiver wire. They're all going to be drafted.
And some of these runs are interesting too. A kicker run of six is the same as the tight end run of six. We have a wide receiver run of 14 and the running back at 7. I don't think in my personal draft or in my division, we really had that many stretches of, you know, consecutive players.
I was going to take Justin Tucker like in the 10th round, like we were discussing 2 weeks ago. And it was really actually a lot more difficult than I thought because there was a lot of receivers still available to me. And we're going to see right now when we pull up those – draft charts. I just couldn't take Justin Tucker above these guys. I mean, I'm flush with wide receivers. I feel really good about my depth at the position. But yeah, I'm actually not taking a kicker. I'm going to end up taking, hopefully nobody sees this, but I'm going to end up taking Rob Gronkowski with my last pick because I just don't believe he's going to retire. I think he's going to come back sometime in August. So I'm just going to take, like, I'm going to take him or some other person and just sit on him in training camp and then just pick up some random kicker right before the season starts. I mean, if you're not getting Justin Tucker or like McPherson or even Justin Tucker, why even waste a spot on a kicker right now?
Well, we'll see that. Let's go ahead and show the rosters, and then we can kind of talk about, you know, our draft experience.
Pull them up.
So here, let me pull.
Let's talk about yours. The Hunger Game leagues.
So, yeah, so this is my roster. I was surprised Kelsey dropped to me at 109. I really like that. Then I wanted to make sure I got a quarterback at 204. Got Matt Stafford. Actually, let's just go through the teams, and then we'll kind of go through what we actually did strategy-wise. So I got Kelsey, Stafford, Tua, Waddle, Etienne, Dobbins, DK, Zach Wilson, Kareem Hunt, James Cook, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, our boy Gerald Everett. Then I did get Evan McPherson, went with Marvin Jones, Jameson Crowder, Greg Joseph, Nico Collins, and Matt Prater. So I have I have three kickers.
Oh, wow. So, okay. Different philosophies.
Yes, different.
And then we look at Ryan. Okay, so I went Andrews. Real quick. Yeah, I went Andrews, Cooper Kupp, Dalvin Cook, Justin Fields as my QB1, then Michael Pittman as my wide receiver 2, A.J. Dillon as my RB2, Darnell Mooney as my wide receiver 3, Davis Mills is my QB2, Kareem Hunt, RB3, Christian Kirk, wide receiver 4, Daniel Jones, QB3. Then this is like this second part of the draft is where I was talking about taking Justin Tucker, but I just couldn't pass on these wide receivers, Van Jefferson, Jalen Tolbert, Evan Ingram, KJ Osborne, then tight Davis Price, Nico Collins, Paris Campbell, Brian Robinson, Snoop Connor, and actually just took right before the draft started, I took Tyler Beatty with the 2104.
I like that. He could be he could definitely, especially if there's injuries, really come through for you in this format. So how has your draft been going? When we started our group chat on Twitter for the Capital Hunger Games, we only had like half the amount of people,
right?
Because there's a couple people that don't have Twitter. Some people just didn't join. And then the first pick, I think it took around like 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours. And now that person is in the chat, but it was a slow start, but we picked up speed, and then the last couple of rounds have started to drag. How about your draft?
We don't have a group chat for my league. Everybody is just kind of off in their own world. No one's speaking to each other. We have a pretty good pace going for my league. Everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. You know, when you're looking at the draft board, everybody's got their own kind of structure going on, their own kind of build. For me, for the way my league is, I definitely prioritize tight end going into it. And you see that with my first pick at Mark Andrews. It was an aggressive pick, but I just still believe that tight end is the most valuable position in the entire draft in this league. And, you know, I think looking at the way the draft played out, I think it was safe to take quarterback early. But because the running backs just kept falling, the running backs were just there so late. There was like, you didn't have to really worry about it. I think the one regret is not taking quarterback early. Like I said, I was going to totally not even acknowledge quarterback in the first round or two rounds. I was going to take the value that was there. And I still got Mark Andrews and Cooper Kupp. But Justin Fields right now, my feelings are biased towards what happened last year, right? So like, I think a lot of our feelings and a lot of our hesitation with a lot of the players that we're drafting this year in any format are still based, no matter how we project them, they're still based predominantly in the way they finished last year. So Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields is going to be this year's Jalen Hurts. I mean, I was looking at Justin Fields primarily for this reason. I think Justin Fields is in an offense similar to what the Eagles were last year, right? They had pretty much one primary wide receiver. They had a reliable tight end, and they're going to have a run game that they're going to rely on for the majority of the year, right? I've already seen interviews of Luke Getsy talking about how they want to run the offense. They want a lot of backfield motion, which is why they brought in Velus Jones. That's what we were talking about earlier. He's a motion receiver. But they're also going to use Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery more in even split. And Justin Fields' rushing yards, I was looking at his rushing yards, 89%, like 90% or 89% of Justin Fields' rushing yards were all scrambles, while the very minor 10% were came off of design runs. So I think Justin Fields, in this format where rushing is rewarded per first down, like 1 point per first down, Justin Fields is a good late QB one to take. I think he can pay off. And the rushing upside that you get with the rushing quarterback mitigates the risk of the incompletion.
No, I think that's a good point. And it's kind of funny because based on last year, people are down on Justin Fields because, you know, he struggled. But I think there was more things than Fields, you know, wrong with that offense. You're correct. And a lot, he can escape the pocket. He can run and everything. I'm hoping they let him loose. But and then when you look at Davis Mills, I mean, because he wasn't as high of a pick and, you know, people weren't as enamored by him. Like, people are higher on Davis Mills coming into the season than, you know, they were last season. It's just funny because, you know, both of them had, you know, I wouldn't say either one had great seasons, but the thought coming into the season is kind of different, at least expectation-wise.
Yeah, anyways, going over the rest of my draft, yeah, I got KJ Osborne, Ty Davis Price, Nico Collins. I think that's great value at the 17th round. And Paris Campbell is awesome value in the 18th round. Hopefully he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, he'll be Matt Ryan's wide receiver too, and it's a lovely thing. And then you can see I'm just kind of like taking shots at Brian Robinson, Snoop Connor. You know, these are guys that are just going to sit on my bench throughout the offseason and probably the majority of the season until I have to cut them or, you know, if there's an injury. You know, if James Conner can't come back, Snoop Conner's the guy that'll probably get a lot of rushing first downs. If Gibson goes down, Brian Robinson is going to step into that primary running back role, right? So, like, Tyler Beatty, if J.K. Dobbins isn't ready, you know, and Gus Edwards isn't ready, I think he'll step in as the RB2 if Gus Edwards isn't ready. And, you know, he's a good receiving back. He has a receiving profile.
Definitely. I think it's interesting, you know, with especially the Tyrion Davis Price pick, we don't really know what's going to happen there, but, like, you know, any running back in San Francisco could start any week because of all their injuries and just how Shanahan seems to just, you know, pick a name out of a hat to kind of change back and forth with running back. So that's interesting. So KJ Osborne, you know, I think he's going to have a good season too. Where do you kind of see him finishing, you know, wide receiver wise this year? He's the third wide receiver in Minnesota, but we've known, you know, Thielen has had some injury issues the last couple of years, and it's looking like they're going to open up their offense more.
Yeah, if you look at how Van Jefferson was utilized in LA the past few years, and I have their stats here. I'll bring it up real quick. Let me just look at it. It's not too far. Okay, so KJ Osborne, right? So Van Jefferson in 2021, right? Okay, let me start with KJ Osborne under Zimmer. These were Osborne's snap shares and routes run and route percentage, right? Under Mike Zimmer in 2021. Okay, Osborne, his snap share, 70th among wide receivers or receivers. Routes run, he was 31st. Route percentage, he was 61st, right? If you look at snap share for Van Jefferson in 2021, he was 30th. Routes run, 16th, and route percentage, 31st. So Van Jefferson was much bigger part of the offense under the Vikings' current head coach. And I'm expecting, based off of that kind of template, that we're going to see KJ Osborne incorporated in the offense more and used and put up similar stat lines as Van Jefferson did. So I think Van Jefferson had like six or seven touchdowns last year and about 800 plus yards. So he was used as like that, you know, that deep threat option. And honestly, like Adam Thielen, he's 32, 33 years old now. If Adam Thielen goes down, KJ Osborne slides right in as a wide receiver too. So, you know, that's why I target guys like Van Jefferson and KJ Osborne and another guy like Joshua Palmer on the Chargers. If Mike Williams or Keenan Allen goes down, Joshua Palmer is a guy that's going to slide in. He should slide into the wide receiver two role over there. You know, it's these wide receiver threes on really good offenses. You got to target these guys because you know, what's going to happen is one of these primary two starting wide receivers are going to go down. The likelihood is one of them are going to be injured for, you know, a week or two. And then you slide them in, you slide in these wide receiver threes, and they help you win those weeks. And then in the meantime, you know, they're nice, you know, they're nice plays in, if you need them in a pinch. So I see KJ Osborne finishing as, you know, a solid floor receiver with some upside.
Definitely. I see that. You went with a couple stats with the Fields and Mooney. I mean, Mooney's going to have to be force fed the ball, you know, I would think. And then with Davis Mills with Nico Collins, I really think Nico Collins is definitely a sleeper for me, especially at wide receiver 72. I think he's going to definitely outperform that. He kind of came on, I wouldn't say strong, but he definitely played more in the past few last 5 weeks.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I know in 3 of the last 5 games, he at least had 9 fantasy points. And he wasn't really – he didn't even run a lot of routes during the game. So I think that is definitely going to increase for him this year. And so the targets between Cooks and the second receiver, which was Collins, there was a huge gap. It was because Collins only was targeted like 60 times, and I think Cooks was like 130. So I think that's going to, you know, there's not going to be that big of a gap this year.
Yeah, I believe so. I think Nico Collins is going to come on nicely.
And I was with you on Paris Campbell last year. It was just too many times when by guess that late, you know, they're saying he's running with the he's the second wide receiver, yeah, you know, ahead of the rookies there. So that's, you know, I just don't know if is ever going to stay healthy. I hope he does, because when he's on the field, even though it's been briefly, he's looked very good.
Campbell was the last viable receiver on the board, and I was like, what the hell? Let me just take the shot on him. If it works out, you know, I'm not sacrificing anything really. There was nobody else really of value on the board. I could have taken like Adam Trautman or something like that, but like, there was really nobody else to draft at that time when I saw Paris Campbell. So I was just thinking, you know what? This is perfect. Nobody wants him. There's a wide receiver. There's a highly athletic wide receiver too, just sitting right there. He's Matt Ryan's wide receiver too. You know, if he's healthy, then he's healthy. If it doesn't work out, I just cut him. I had him like last year. It didn't work out. I cut him. Same thing this year. I got him probably just this late last year too. So no risk. ADP. No risk, whatever. No opportunity cost whatsoever.
And I really like what you did wide receiver wise with Cooper Kupp, Michael Pittman, Darnell Mooney. Yeah, yeah. Your wide receiver 4 is Christian Kirk, which I think people are sleeping on him. Just because he got overpaid doesn't mean, you know, that he's still not going to have that opportunity. He's going to be the best receiver on that team. And even last year, how bad the Jags were. Marvin Jones finished as wide receiver 39 with 120 targets. So I think, you know, he's going to do better than that. And then I also like your Jalen Tolbert pick. Tolbert looks to be a starter until Gallup gets back. And then even when Gallup gets back, he should be the wide receiver 3 on that team. So there's a good upside there. And also Evan Engram. I actually like that signing for the Jags. If he can stay healthy, I think he could be a definitely good tight end. There, and we know Peterson likes to throw to the tight ends.
Yes, sir. He loves those tight ends. Dan Arnold is another nice late addition for somebody who's looking for like a, you know, sneaky tight end or tight end 2, or maybe like a cheap tight end 3 in Scott Fishbowl.
Definitely. So before we move on to mine, was there any picks in particular after you kind of saw what how the round went that you regretted your pick?
Any the that only stand pick- out? Yeah, so the only pick I regret. Okay, so Justin Fields was the last QB1 I think I could take that was left on the board. And I don't feel it still hurts my stomach thinking about it, but I took him over Mike Evans. Mike Evans was sitting right there the entire time. Yeah, and I had to take him because the way the draft was going, I couldn't wait for Justin Fields to come back to me. I didn't want to end up with Davis Mills as my QB1. I needed Justin Fields. I feel really confident about the rushing that we discussed earlier and the rushing upside that he brings to the table. But man, that pick over Mike Evans is going to haunt me for a very long time, because I could have had just filthy receivers. I could have had absolutely disgusting receivers. And my team would have been so strong with Mike Evans. But, you know, that's the only reason why I was like, you know what? I should have just taken QB early, gotten it out of the way. Because what was happening was everybody was taking QB early. And that's what I learned this time around. Everybody was taking QB early. So naturally, all the other positions are going to fall. Why would I be the only one not taking QB early and letting and then all the position falls? You know, myself alone, I can't absorb all that talent, all those skills, all those positions, all those players, right? I'm just one guy. When you have eight people taking two QBs in the first two or three rounds, all these positions are going to fall. What am I doing, dude? Like, what am I doing? I should have known better. Like, I've played in super flex leagues. I should know how to do this by now. But, you know, we'll see how it pays off. We'll see how, you know, we see the scoring settings before leagues kick off, and we just don't know how it's going to work out until the league starts. But so we'll see. Let's check out your team, though.
Yeah, one last thing. Yeah, definitely about the quarterbacks. I was talking in, you know, like a group chat about how the quarterback ADB, it was like crazy with how that went. So yeah, let's check out my team. we started similarly in the first round, got a tight end. I probably, even if Kelsey had gone, I probably would have gone tight end. I think Mark Andrews has a chance to be tight end one this year. Then at 204, Stafford's, you know, one of the last quarterbacks I feel comfortable, like, in the top, you know, 10-ish. So I wanted one of those guys, so I got him. And 304 is when I made a mistake, I think. I was worried that – so I had a pick, and then I wasn't going to pick again for, like, 17 picks. So I was worried there's going to be – the quarterbacks after me were going to go. So I grabbed Tua, which I'm kind of have mixed feelings about Tua. But the other person I had was thinking about getting there was Darren Waller. And having two, you know, top five tight ends, I didn't. And then when it got back to me, only one quarterback had been taken. So I really, really was upset about that because I was like, what are the odds that happens? So that's one part I regretted. But once I got to when I came back around, I was like, you know, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle were still on the board. When I picked Tua, I was like, I want to get a stack. So I was able to get Waddle. It's my wide receiver one, which I felt good about. Then last year I made the mistake. Well, actually one of the mistakes was I picked J.K. Dobbins last year at Scott Fishbowl and he got hurt. So I'm hoping I'm not bad luck for J.K. Dobbins. But I like the back-to-back running backs of ETN and J.K. Dobbins. I think both of those could get a lot of work this year. Then wide receivers, I don't love DK's situation, but I mean, at that spot of the draft, I mean, just his talent level, I couldn't pass it up. So I took him there as my wide receiver too, which I feel all right about. And then this might have been a little bit of a reach with Zach Wilson, but because of, you know, us not really knowing what Tua is going to look like this year, I wanted another high ceiling type guy, Zach Wilson, you know, with the new weapons, with his rushing ability, kind of like you were saying with Justin Fields. I feel good about him. So I figure, you know, I can play Stafford every week. And then, you know, if Tua and Zach Wilson are both good, I can kind of like pick and choose based on matchups. And then I had the problem last year with running backs that I just didn't take enough of them. So I double tapped running back again, got Kareem Hunt, which I believe you had. And then I got James Cook, who I think is a high upside guy in these kind of tournaments, you know, because he could have crazy potential with his receiving ability. And then I went, got my third and fourth wide receivers. I told myself I wasn't going to take that many rookie wide receivers this year, but the value, I just couldn't pass it up. Got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Another stack with Zach Wilson. And then I went for a tight end. I got Gerald Everett as my second tight end. I waited a little long on tight ends, but I felt like I had to get some of those wide receivers. So I got him. And then around before I got Evan McPherson, Justin Tucker went. So I decided I wanted to get McPherson. And then I liked that's two wide receivers I got, and Marvin Jones and Jamison Crowder. I think they just could be solid, underrated guys. And then I really didn't like a lot what that was on the board, so I figured get a couple more kickers, maybe with the scoring. You know, they could help me out in flex with Greg Joseph and Matt Prater. And then I also picked Nico Collins just because I think he's going to have a huge year this year.
That's insane value. What's happened with Nico Collins this year and him just not being selected is really, I mean, I understand like he wasn't insane last year, but like it's a brand new year. We got dip. It's just good value. Like, come on now. So I think you waiting on tight ends after Travis Kelce is fine because you have Kelce. You don't really have to worry about it. Stafford's a really great QB1. Tua, I don't think he's a good quarterback, but for fantasy, and that team with Tyreek Hill and the weapons that he has, that's him being a good quarterback is a discussion for another time. But I think for fantasy, it's fine. Don't beat yourself up over it. Like, you got Tua. For me, I would have skipped Tua and definitely taken somebody else because I know I have Stafford, who's rock solid. He would have been my like anchor QB1. And I would have just taken whatever Johnny was there later, you know, whatever Johnny quarterback was there later. I would have been fine with that. I know you love your Travis Etienne, and that's a great pick. I missed out on that. I think with J.K. Dobbins, you should go scoop up Tyler Beatty right now. Just if you can, go get Beatty and secure him. And Metcalf is a good value. So you could have just gone Stafford and then just gone straight to Zach Wilson, I think. I think you could have just done something like that and then locked up Darren Waller in the tight end premium format. You know how I feel about the tight ends in this format. Yeah, Kareem Hunt, for some reason. I mean, this guy is like an RB1 whenever he's on the field, but people just don't want to – I don't understand it. And then James Cook is great value. I think he's a solid floor option as well as a solid upside option because of his PPR relevance. And Chris Olave, I think, is the actual wide receiver one in New Orleans. I'm not buying any Jarvis Landry or Michael Thomas stuff. I'm over Michael Thomas. I don't even think he plays the entire year. Yeah, and Garrett Wilson with that Zach Wilson stack. That Zach Wilson, man, we'll see what he does. I hope it works out for him. We'll see what he does. Yeah, then you got Everett as your tight end too. And, you know, you got your kickers. I understand the format with the kickers. Maybe I'm just missing something on the math. But Jamison Crowder, fun fact. Jamison Crowder's best comparable player on player profiler is Cole Beasley. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Marvin Jones is still probably the best wide receiver on that team, regardless of the age. And we discussed Nico Collins. Yeah, man, you just went tight end. You just went bully kicker here. You just went three kickers: McPherson, Joseph, and Prater. Can you let's talk about your kicker logic? What was your kicker logic here?
So I was looking at because I looked last year, kind of where they would rank, based on what they got per game. And all three of those were over 10 points. So at that point, there's a lot of the players that were on there I didn't necessarily like. So I was like, let's roll with the kickers. Maybe there's a week where, you know, all three of them kick like four 40-yard field goals and goes crazy. I think you have to take risks in these type of tournaments. And I mean, that might not have been the best risk, but yeah. And back to the Tua thing, yeah, I was kind of, I'm not as high on Trevor bouncing back as high as some people. So he was a quarterback after that I didn't necessarily feel comfortable with. So like you said, with Tua, I got to imagine they're going to throw a lot of short stuff and just let those receivers go wild out there. So
you got a great stack with Tua, Jalen Waddle too. You have a very nice stack over there with that.
Yeah, definitely. And back with Kareem Hunt, a lot of people talk about this, but the split between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is way smaller or way closer than most mm-hmm. people want to think. Like because for some reason Stefanski likes to take Nick Chubb out for like two drives in the third quarter all the time. And, you know, Kareem Hunt's going to get the 2-minute drills, going to get third down work. And then he's probably going to get two or three drives to himself. And he's not just like a Naheem Hines that's just a passing option. He's like a complete running back that they give the ball between the tackles with. And so I really felt comfortable with getting him, you know, kind of be a good floor. And, you know, he's still, if Chubb misses any games, he's obviously could be a top 12 running back.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Kareem Hunt. I'm looking up the runs inside the five. I want to see the runs inside the five between Hunt and Chubb. So give me 1 second. Because I feel like as a Chubb owner last year, I saw a lot of runs. I saw Kareem Hunt in there when Nick Chubb worked down to the goal line and picked up, and Kareem Hunt would just come in and take those goal line touches. So Kareem Hunt, okay, he says Kareem Hunt had 4 runs inside the 5 and Chubb had 10 runs inside the 5. So I think we also have to take into consideration that Kareem Hunt was out more games than Nick Chubb. So, I think it's going to be a much closer split with the inside the 5. I think Chubb will still lead it, but I think Kareem Hunt will be a lot closer than most people think.
And now I remember this. I just had a redraft article come out where I talk about Kareem Hunt, so I can look at some of these stats. Let's see. Hunt only played in 8 games last year, but was tied for 20th in fantasy points per game. Hunt and Chubb played together in 7 games, and Hunt only had a snap share of over 50% once. If you look at the actual split, was Hunt at 45%, Chubb at 55%. And if you look at just opportunities, which I did targets and attempts, Hunt had 105 opportunities and Chubb had 128 in those times when they played together. So you see, it's not a big gap at all. So, and, you know, if Nick Chubb has an injury, then, you know, Hunt will take over that role. I don't really understand why they don't give Chubb the ball more. I get, like, maybe for injuries and everything, but I think they should give Chubb the ball more. But Stefanski likes to have that split up.
Imagine what Chubb could do with more than 52% of the snaps. Look what he's doing right now with less than 52% of the snaps. He's one of the league's top rushers. I think they're probably just trying to keep him fresh. I mean, if I was a coach, you know, you want to be practical as a coach. You want to keep your best player fresh, especially when you're emphasizing the run game. Kareem Hunt is a Pro Bowl caliber running back. You know, before he came to Cleveland, he was a early down running back, very good running back. So I get it. I think I understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I understand when Hunt's there, but last year there were times when Hunt was out and it was, you know, Chubb and D'Ernest Johnson. Chubb isn't a bad receiver. He's just like, he just isn't their third down back, but they would take Nick Chubb out in 2-minute drives and some drives for D'Ernest Johnson. And that's the point where I don't think you should do that. You know, Chubb is more talented and he should be on the field. I understand when Kareem Hunt's there, but when Kareem Hunt was hurt, I didn't understand them still splitting up carries.
Yeah, again, I think it just comes down to practicality because they're emphasizing the run so hard on that offense. You know, I think they just don't want to overuse Chubb. I mean, how many rushing attempts does this guy get? You know, like, Nick Chubb, let me see where are you, Chubb? Where are you? Nick Chubb, he gets like a bunch of carries already on. Yeah, in 2028, in 14 games, he had 228 rush attempts on 52% of the snaps, right? How crazy is that?
So you said 228?
In 14 games, he had 228 rush attempts.
So that's 16 a game.
So in 2019, he played 16 games and he had 298 rush attempts in 2019. That's crazy. But that was before Kareem Hunt got there, right?
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I think Kareem Hunt got there in 2020, right? Yeah, I believe so.
And I think if Deshaun Watson does get suspended, you know, whatever he gets suspended, those games, I got to imagine Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are going to get a load of work because they're not going to want to keep the ball in Jacoby Brissett's hands, making him throw too many times. So they might be even more run heavy, you know, that first half of the season. So that's another thing that I kind of took into consideration.
Let me ask you this. If J.K. Dobbins isn't ready to go and Gus Edwards isn't ready to go, where do you see Tyler? Where do you rank Tyler Beatty for the year? Is he RB1 status if Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins can't go? Is Tyler Beatty automatically?
I'll give him RB2. I don't think I could
put him RB2.
Yeah, I'll give him RB2.
Okay, because Mike Davis is still there.
Yeah, so that's probably why I would do somewhere split. But obviously, Beatty is the bigger playmaker. I love Tyler Beatty. I kind of was a little sad that he didn't go to a place where he didn't need injuries to, you know, play. You know, the Ravens like to use a bunch of running backs. Look at all these years, how many running backs they've had. They like to split it up. So the only thing was Tyler Beatty, if you know, the two running backs aren't injured ahead of him, I just wouldn't feel comfortable like picking the right week where he like has a good game. He would be a guy in best ball that I would love. But yeah, in this format, because he would definitely need to be getting like 5 to 7 targets a game for me to even consider him in the flex.
Next question. Who are you targeting in the first round before Travis Kelce fell on your head?
I'm trying to think. Who did I think?
You're like, okay, I'm gonna. This is the guy in my range that I'm gonna get. Who was it? A quarterback or a running back?
I think I was gonna go to the running back because I kind of figured. I thought at least Kelce would go before me. I figured the 5 quarterbacks would go before me that I would feel comfortable with. So Herbert, Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, and I guess Lamar. I honestly didn't feel comfortable taking Kyler there because I was between Kelce and Kyler. Just because I've had Kyler in dynasty leagues and the end of the season swoons kill you, you know, come playoff time.
When Travis Kelce came dropped down to you, how long did it take you to change out of your pants?
it was definitely very, very, very immediate happiness. I just started jumping up and down, and my wife was like, "What are you doing?" And I didn't want to explain it because it was going to sound really stupid to her.
So don't ever explain that. Don't ever explain that. Just kills all the sex appeal in the relationship. Don't ever explain fancy point scoring.
Yeah, but I was definitely excited with that. I'm actually pretty high on Stafford. Actually, probably next pod, we'll talk about the dynasty draft that we're a part of. And I got Matthew Stafford in that one too. So I've been going hard for Stafford lately.
So the second round was crazy because there were so many studs in the second round. Like, I was looking at Cooper Kupp and I was like, what? What? There's so many. Like, I don't know why. I've been in 2 QB leagues, but this time I was just like, I think it was because it was a Scott Fishbowl and you're like, I don't want to mess this pick up. But when I saw Cooper Kupp there, I was looking at Cooper Kupp. I remember this. I was like, Cooper Kupp or Jalen Hurts. And I think I texted you about it. I wrote it in the chat in another league. And somebody else was like, go Cooper Kupp. And I was like, yeah, I trust it. And I asked another guy I asked another guy at Football Guys about it. And he's like, yeah, don't take Cooper Kupp. He's like, and this guy doesn't even believe in Jalen Hurts. And I'm kind of not like really a long-term believer in Jalen Hurts. I don't really think he's going to take the – I can't say I don't think he's going to make the progression as a quarterback, as a complete quarterback. And my critique with him is that he just misses wide open reads sometimes. You know, he has his areas of strength, but I think his strengths do outweigh his weaknesses. But I still feel like he's on the short leash. And I just, you know, and this is more of a dynasty discussion, but also I could see them just, you know, I could see Jalen Hurts getting benched sometime during the year. And I really don't. I'm still not sold on the guy. You know, I'm still not sold on the guy. So I didn't want to spend a second round pick on my QB1 when I could just take Cooper Kupp, who's just a sure thing, and I can just go get you know Justin Fields, who's going to probably start the entire year, and you know give me that Jalen Hurts rushing upside that I talked about before.
Yeah, it'll be interesting with the Eagles too, because a lot of people are talking about like when they started really succeed last year. It was like they were really running the ball. But part of it, too, is they had, you know, Devonta Smith and Goddard and nothing else. And now that they got A.J. Brown, I do wonder if it's a closer, you know, kind of split and everything. And even, you know, I think Quez Watkins played well last year. So if you move him down to the wide receiver 3 now instead of wide receiver 2, they have so many options. And I do wonder about Jalen Hurts because there could be a world where Jalen Hurts doesn't get any better this year. Doesn't get any better, but they could still win the East. And so then, like, say he leads them to, like, you know, a playoff win on that side, but you know, like, he's not a franchise quarterback. Do you still move on from a quarterback that takes you to the playoffs like that, like the Chiefs did when they drafted Patrick Mahomes? I just wonder if another team would make that move because the Eagles have that draft capital to move up next year and possibly get one of those top quarterbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's always going to be looming there. And I think in Jalen Hurts' mind, in the back of his head, that's always going to be there. But, you know, the thing that also confuses me about the Eagles is that they don't have like a really great running back over there. So for a team that wants to supposedly run the ball, you know, Miles Sanders is not that guy. I'm done believing in him. So, and Kenneth Gainwell, as much as you and I are Kenneth Gainwell fans, I understand that he's not an early down running back. Maybe they incorporate more of a timeshare between him and Sanders. What do you think about that? You think there's more Kenneth Gainwell on the field? Because they did use they did use Kenneth Gainwell more in the first 2 weeks of the season before Nick Sirianni was like, oh shit, Jalen Hurts can't. He can't do this. We need to run the ball. So I think that wasn't this. It wasn't saying. I don't think Kenneth Gainwell not being on the field after those first 2 weeks was reflection of how Kenneth Gainwell was as a player, but they just needed to bring in Jordan Howard because they ran that ball insane. And Kenneth Gainwell, he's just not part of that, you know, game plan. So I think this year, you know, they got Kennedy Brooks there as a UDFA. Maybe Kennedy Brooks gets incorporated some, but I think Kenneth Gainwell should be more, you know, what he should be more incorporated in that offense, you know. So.
Yeah, I think he should be more, but I have no idea how much. I mean, you would think, you know, they spent, I think he was a fourth rounder. And then I don't understand why they brought Boston Scott back they bring Kennedy Brooks. And it'll be interesting. What I would like to see is them just get Gainwell in space more. They just pretty much a lot of the passes that he was getting were just dump offs. Like, he's a legit route runner. Just look, you know, line him up and let him run some routes. In the playoff game against the Bucs, he had a great catch and ran it into the end zone, made a couple people miss. But yeah, I don't consider Gainwell a three down back, but I think he can be utilized still running between the tackles, just maybe, you know, like 5-7 times. If he could get 5 to 8 rushes a game and then like 5 to 7 targets a game, I would love that for him to see what production he could do. So give him like anywhere from 12 to 18 touches a game. I think he could do well with that.
Yeah, I think that's perfect for him. I think you really need to incorporate him in the game. You know, whenever he did get the ball, he was always very productive. He's a very productive, efficient running back in space. I mean, as a runner, he is light, smaller, slight frame, but as a runner, he knows what he's doing out there. Like, he runs really hard. The dude wants to run. And it's just another Memphis running back being, you know, mismanaged and misutilized, like Antonio Gibson. You know, it's just another guy being from another one of these dynamic running backs that aren't just being used properly. I don't know. It makes me frustrated to see that coaches aren't, you know, being more open-minded about utilizing these players in the correct way. And then, you know, before we know it, it's going to be too late for them. I don't know. Maybe they're just too scared. They don't want to take the risk.
Yeah. I do hope with A.J. Brown, maybe that opens up the field a little bit more because there's going to be more attention to, you know, A.J. Brown and then Devontae Smith, and he's still got Goddard. So maybe Gainwell can do more of that. So that will be interesting. And going back to Tyler Beatty, he's a great receiver too. Runs great routes and everything. But who knows, even without injuries, they might find a way to use him, especially if they're not happy with how the wide receivers progress in Baltimore. Because, you know, there's Rashad Bateman, and then there's, you know, a big jumble for that wide receiver too. So who knows, they might be planning to do that, or they might throw three tight ends in the game all the time because they just drafted two tight ends in the draft, and then they obviously have Andrews. So I definitely feel like I was more prepared for Scott Fishbowl this year. But we'll see what the results are. I actually felt good last year too. And then, I actually made the playoffs, but I was a quick exit.
Did you hear about the new Scott Fishbowl rule about, bye weeks scoring?
No.
Okay. So like AJ Dillon, like they have a bye week in week 13, right? So if you have a player who has a bye week during the fantasy playoffs in Scott Fishbowl, so what Scott Fish is going to do, he's going to take the average points per game that the player scored, and he's just going to add it to the player's bye week. So that's what the player scored. So, like, if you have a player that's averaged, like, 13 points per week or 13 points over the season, that's he'll attribute those points to that bye week in the playoffs. That's cool, right? That's great.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea, too. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. Speaking of, you picked AJ Dillon, right?
Yeah, I did.
So what do you think his ceiling is there as long as Aaron Jones doesn't get hurt? So Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, I think he's all year.
I think he's a weekly RB1 even with Aaron Jones there.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, so but it's all based on the premise of Davante Adams not being there, right? Which shifts the focus of the offense to more of the run game. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is still going to do what he does. But the run game becomes more of a factor now, right? It becomes more significant now, right? So Aaron Jones becomes more significant and AJ Dillon becomes more. And when you look at past historical trends, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I looked at it a couple months ago or a month ago. There is room. So AJ Dillon last year didn't really play above more than 50% of the snaps until I think week 11, right? So if we look at the numbers and touches, like, so he had 218 rush attempts, I think, and he didn't see more than 50% of the snaps, and he wasn't part of the game plan to open the year, right? Only till the back half of the year, you know, was he part of the game plan, and he had 220 attempts and a 90% catch rate on 38 targets, right? So imagine AJ Dillon now, right? Being opening the year as a starting running back on the team, right? He put up 220 rush attempts and had 36 receptions on 38 targets, and not even being part of the game plan, the starting game plan, until the second half of the season. He put up RB1 numbers, RB1, he had RB1 utilization with all that and taken into context, right? Now he's going to be part of the offense. Now they don't have Davante Adams there, right? I'm projecting AJ Dillon to average anywhere between 13 to 14 fantasy points per game in half point PPR leagues. That's what I'm saying. I think he's going to have the bulk of the rushing, obviously. Aaron Jones, he's with Davante Adams gone, his splits, he has like, it's like a 5-point differential with Davante Adams gone and Davante Adams on the field for Aaron Jones, right? So he's a strong RB1 candidate. I think both of them, I've said this before, I think both of them are candidates to be, historically, it hasn't happened often, but I think that both of them, after taking everything into account, are candidates to be RB1s every single week. That's where I am with AJ Dillon. I have AJ Dillon higher than J.K. Dobbins. I like him more than J.K. Dobbins this year.
Interesting. No, I could see that, because the thing with Dobbins is always going to be Lamar's going to take rushing touchdowns away, and they're going to have other running backs in there, and that, you know, with last year with Dillon getting that many targets, which doesn't seem like a lot, but think about how many targets Aaron Jones gets and still getting the 36 receptions. With Adams gone, you would think that's still going to go up, and then, you know, Dillon, I would imagine, is going to get most of the goal line work. So he's going to get, you know, a big chunk of the rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I could totally see that, you know, especially if they don't see these rookie receivers really get going, then they could go heavier into the running game.
Yeah. Just, I mean, this year, specifically this year, I don't think it's going to be something that happens every year, but I think this year I feel really good about it. I don't really feel like, it doesn't keep me up at night thinking about it. It's something I've made up my mind, and I just go to sleep at peace knowing it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. It's not a hot take, because I've looked at the numbers. Like, people get mad. They're like, why are you hot taking? You clickbaiting. And I'm like, no, dude, like, I've looked at the numbers. Like, I've looked at the utilization. I've looked at how that team operates. I understand taking everything into context this year. I don't see why not. I really don't see why not.
I think there are more people kind of getting on the AJ Dillon bandwagon.
There are.
There are more people now that are getting on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my case for Dillon.
All right, yeah. So it's almost done. And then, you know, throughout the year, we'll kind of give updates on how our teams are doing, kind of talked about our rosters. So we're going to end the show. We haven't done this in a while, with some would you rather questions.
Love it. Let's do it.
Question one.
Yes.
Would you always have to take a cold shower or never feel anything cold? Which one would you choose?
Always take a cold shower. Yeah, because I can take a cold showers are really good for circulation too. Apparently they're really good for circulation and they're really good for inflammation. So like after a long day, it's good to take a cold shower, and cold showers get the blood flow going. There's proven health benefits to cold showers. So actually you're probably being more healthy by taking a cold shower and not feeling anything cold. Like what, you're going to have heat exhaustion your entire life? Like forget, I don't want to feel hot all the time. I don't like the heat. I know you're from Florida, so I know you can thrive in the heat and it's humid. It's been humid this week. I am miserable. I hate the humidity, man. I can't do it. So yeah, I'm going to take a cold shower after this is done, dude. I'm going to take a cold shower. I'm fucking sweating right now. I'm not even doing anything. I'm sweating. Yes, give me the cold shower. Absolutely. It sounds amazing right now. I'll take a cold shower. Yes.
I do like to take the occasional cold shower. And you said I thrive in hot weather. I do not. I barely tolerate it. The summer months, pretty much from May till, man, in Florida, like late September, October, I hate it. I say every year, I'm like, I feel like it gets hotter every year. I always forget how hot these summers are. Even like when the sun goes down, it's still so humid. It's so horrible. I'm just walking into the grocery store, I'm already sweating. Like I have to bring like little hand towels around so I can wipe the sweat off of my head. It's
oh wow, that's the Florida survival kit, huh? That's the urban survival kit.
Yeah, hand towels. You know, and knowing what
you guys have like mosquitoes out there and stuff. Like, do you have like bugs that bother you all the time? Like, yeah. I'm sure there's like a bunch of like little gnats that fly around and just like bother you all the time. Do they like to? Are you a mosquito bite guy? They don't bite me. They don't like.
Oh, they bite me all the time.
Do they like you, huh?
Yeah, they like they like, I guess, the sweetness of my skin. All right. So I think we agree on that one. I especially like taking cold showers after you just done like a workout or played basketball or something. You're all hot. Yeah, yeah. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't really like taking very hot showers.
I take hot showers. I like scalding showers.
Oh, like, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I feel like because in our shower we have dual shower heads, so conceivably me and my wife could take a shower at the same time, but it has to be the same temperature on both. And I refuse to go in there when she takes a shower because it's way too hot. I feel like my skin is getting burned off. So,
yeah, that's the way my fiance is when she comes in the shower. She's like, Jesus Christ. I just say I'm the Dracarys whenever she comes in from Game of Thrones. I'm one of the dragon. I'm one of the dragon people, whatever they are. Yeah, I have dragon skin. I can't get burned.
All right, fair. All right. I guess.
Question two. Let's go.
Yeah, question two. Would you rather sound like Kermit or look like Miss Piggy?
You go first on this one.
I think I would rather sound like Kermit. I think I would. I know that's a big diss for Miss Piggy. I think I'd rather sound like him.
I mean, Kermit's awesome. I definitely sound like Kermit. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Miss Piggy, her personality is pretty bad.
Yeah, Kermit's like cool, man. Like he's got like good people skills and. Everybody likes Kermit, and like his voice isn't that bad. I mean, like for a frog, no. Like, it's kind of like I've heard humans with worse voices. Like you should see the people I work with; they're so annoying. I'd rather sound like I'd rather talk to Kermit than like half the people I work with. So yeah, give me the Kermit every day.
Yeah, there's me and my wife are in this poker league, and there's this one girl that has the most annoying voice. It's not even like she's annoying in general, but like the voice is even worse. So I just take. Headphones just to play music when I have to set nets to her. It's like her voice. I can't stand being around her because her voice is horrible.
Do you want to try to give me an impression real quick?
I don't think I can even. It's like,
is it so bad you can't even do an impression?
Correct.
Is it like stuffy or like high pitched or does she have like an annoying laugh?
It's like whiny, high pitched. It's like a multitude of things that are just horrible. And she's not a very fun person either. So that makes it even worse. But yeah, her voice. Yeah. So yes, there are human people that have a voice way worse than Kermit the Frog.
Okay. All right.
So question three. I really like this one. It's a super weird one. So your hands would be switched with dustpans. So you'd have two dustpans on your arms. or you would sweat jam instead of normal sweat?
I want to sweat jam, baby.
Really? I just feel like that'd be so messy and gross all the time.
But your hands are going to be dustpans.
I understand that, but like it would be easier to scoop things up.
I mean, but you can't do anything else. Like with hands, like you can still like do everything you can with the hands, but you'll just sweat some jam. And you just walk around with a mason jar and you just collect the jam, put the jam in the mason jar.
But then the jam's gonna go into your eyes and it's gonna burn.
Don't sweat all the time.
How
often are you gonna
sweat? I sweat a lot. I sweat a lot.
You might want dustpans because you live in Florida. Like me, I'm not really that sweaty all the time, so I think I'll take the jam. I'll just wipe some off and I'll be like, you want some? To the guy next to me, I'm like, who wants some jam? Who wants some sweat jam?
Think about this. Think about if you're playing a pickup basketball game, and you know how it's gross when you rub up against the guy that's super sweaty. No, so what if you rub up against the guy that has jam all over him?
Good. Don't with the ball. The ball out jam all over
him. It just jams everywhere. I think that would get too messy for me. And you get sticky.
These are both really difficult choices. But I love my hands. I love my hands. I'd be damned if these turns into fucking dustpans. No dustpans, dude. I'm not gonna be a dustpan man. What a horrible thing to have for hands. Literally, what a horrible thing to have for hands, dude. Dustpans.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. But yeah, that one is a tough one. All right, and now this one. I think this one's pretty tough too. So number four. Would you rather steal an elderly woman's purse or tell 10 orphans that Christmas is canceled?
You go ahead, because I went first on the last one. You go first on this one.
Yeah, I think I would have to. I think I would have to steal the elderly woman's purse. I think just seeing the looks on those kids when you tell them Christmas is canceled would be horrific, and I couldn't live with myself. I mean, I couldn't live with myself if I stole an elderly woman's purse either. But out of the two, that's the lesser evil.
I mean, the elderly woman, she gets social security checks all the time. She'll be fine. You know, like these kids, they've had it rough. They're orphans. You know, they've had it rough already. Why would you just do that to the kids? You know, she'll be fine. The elderly, she's got canned food. I don't know what she has food. She'll be fine. She'll just go home.
She has canned food.
Yeah, she has canned apricots. I don't know what they eat, but she'll be fine. But I'm not going to just, these kids, like they're orphans, dude. They don't have families. They don't have homes. Dude,
Do orphan kids get like Christmas presents?
Yeah, I mean there's like charity organizations that, you know, there's charitable organizations that collect kids for them, toys for them. There's a bunch of I think orphans get, you know, they have, you know, they get presents and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's tough. I would have wanted. I don't have the heart to do that. I'll jack an old woman over there. I'll just jack her. I'll take her purse.
I think as long as you didn't knock down the woman.
I'll take the money and I'll give it to the orphans that I get from purse. Whatever I get from purse,
Problem solved. So that is our show for tonight. Like I mentioned earlier, we are in our first Dynasty League together. I would hope the draft is over in 2 weeks. and then we can talk about that draft. Yeah. And roast each other's pits, kind of talk about like how that league happened it'll be fun.
But we got training camps coming up too. We're gonna have a lot to talk about, man. We got training camps coming up.
Yeah.
When's the Hall of Fame game?
It's the first week in August, right? I believe.
First weekend of August. Okay. Maybe. And you got Jacksonville playing who? Who's Jacksonville playing?
I don't remember, but the Jags are playing. That's all that matters.
Jags are playing, baby. We got Snoop Connors be playing. None of the starting wide receivers should be playing, right? No starting tight ends, no starting receivers. Not even Dan Arnold will be playing. You know, none of those. Just like pure rookies, right? Maybe Trevor Lawrence will play.
I think they need to play him like a little. I think the Jaguars, especially offensively, have to play probably a little more during the season just because they were such a fuck up last year. That they just need to get that continuity of like doing something successful.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of. I don't think it's out of. You know, I don't think it's unreasonable to see Trevor out there for two drives. I think they can put him out there for two drives.
Yeah. Only thing is, if you do that, especially in the Hall of Fame game, if he were to get injured or any of the stars get injured,
one drive.
Peterson would get killed. But yeah, I think they need some continuity on that team.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just another football game, even though the Hall of Fame game usually, you know, sucks. It's bad football, you know, but it's still football.
So. I watch all of it. I watch every snap. I watch all of it. I don't even care. It's football. Well, I mean, be grateful. It's football. It's football, yeah. Man. We got a month left. We're here, dude. We're here.
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
God damn it.
We did it.
All right. Sunday's back. Nobody got arrested. You're alive. I'm alive.
Hey, I think that's the biggest thing. We survived. We survived the offseason. So that's our show for tonight. And we'll.
The IRS didn't audit me for any stupid tax fraud I might have committed because I didn't report profits on my crypto. Anyway, close the show out.
Oh, that's. Yeah, I feel like you're incriminating yourself, and I hope no one from the IRS is watching this.
Delete this episode.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.